Married a combined 30-some years.
Jing won one argument.
Got a PhD in communication, ain't won one argument. Not one. Taught on the university level for 20 years, never saw a class in how to be an awesome husband. Never saw a class on how to be a great father. Never saw a class on effective listening. Speaking, yeah, but not listening. Never had a class on fatherhood 101. Where do you go? The Word of God. Amen. Word of God is greater than any textbook.
Amen.
Greater than any collection of literature. The Word of God, you can live in James, just James 1. Yeah. You need some wisdom? All you have to do is ask. Just all you have to do is just ask. You can live in James 1. Let everyone be quick to, slow to, and slow to anger. But look at how many arguments that would eliminate. I said, look at how many arguments. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about when I say argue, sir. Look at how many arguments if you were just not reacting to everything she said. Some of the best marital advice I ever got was, would that woman just be a little bit deaf and a little bit blind? Ain't that good advice? Because truthfully, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You see, if daddy ain't happy, don't nobody care. And so, because it's okay to be
pretty good.
And a little bit blind. Here's the deal. Whether you're on the job or whether you're at home, God desires excellence. Now, I'm going to tell you something about men. Oh, we know how to act in this society. Oh, yeah, so when we're on the job, we pay attention to our wardrobe. We make sure that we dress appropriately for success. We pay attention to our verbiage. We learn how to pontificate with an ecclesiastical excellence, whatever that means. We learn all kinds of strategies. Everything about us is just perfect. We get home, we act like crap. Does anybody need a denotative definition of the word crap? We act like crap at home. We give our family our leftovers. It's not honoring God. I said it's not honoring God. Look pretty all you want on Sunday morning. If you're treating her like hell Monday through Saturday, you better be careful. Some of you are not listening to what I'm saying to you. You act all great for everybody else, putting on a great show. But because you're so insecure, and because you haven't forgiven yourself, you're hurting her. I got a word for you. Stop trying to fix her. That's not your job. Your job is to love her, to go all out for her, to go all the way for her, to love and give till it hurts, and then to love and give some more. But you don't understand. Nothing to understand. The Bible commands you to be excellent at home, no matter what they're dealing with, no matter what they're sharing with you, no matter what they're going through. What are you talking about, preacher? Janet is my wife. Janet is going through menopause right now, which means I am going through menopause. Do I have a witness out here? Does somebody know what I'm talking about? I mean, the hot flashes, the, oh, baby, just let me just open up my blouse so you can feel how hot it is right here and feel the puddles. I don't want to feel you right there. Not there. I don't want to touch puddles of sweat right there. Oh, turn up the heater. Turn down the heater. Just going through all kinds of stuff. And I just dream about those days when we were first married. Y'all remember when you were first married?
Yeah.
I said, do you remember when you first married?
Yeah.
Remember how they come to bed? Oh, Lord have mercy. They come to bed smelling good. Remember? Fingernails were done. Toenails matched what the fingernails had on. They had stuff in their hair that made it smell good, made it look good. Probably had a negligee on. Ooh, goony goo goo. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Boy, after a few years of marriage, she come to bed with a gym outfit on, a Salvation Army blanket draped around her, got a rope tied around her, talking about, why won't you hold me? Are you crazy? I'm going to hold you.
You find a smile.
Talking about 10 o'clock at night. 10 o'clock at night, they want to do two things, huh? They want to do one thing, and it ain't the one thing we want to do. 10 o'clock at night, I'm thinking one of two things. I'm thinking sleep or the other. Amen?
Amen.
They want to talk about their day and share their feelings about work. Ain't no feelings to share. Work. Get the paycheck. Bring your butt home. I don't feel it. Just do it. Now, what's my point? My point is, I think Jesus has a great sense of humor. Because in this context, he's saying, love her. In this context, he's saying, go ahead and love her. Even when you didn't get it last night. You know that feeling? When you turn back and forth. And you make noises, but you pretend like you ain't making. Don't look at me like you don't know. And you make all kind of noises. You know, when it just dawned on me that my wife is going to see this DVD. Anyway, honey, you know what I'm talking about, bro.
Pretty good.
And the worst thing in the world is if to take the Viagra and for no earthly reason whatsoever. So the next morning you got a headache and nothing else. Don't you look at me, old man, like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh man.
And Jesus says, love her. Go all out for her. Be a giver for her. And them little ones, don't provoke them. Them little crazy Negroes, they couldn't have come from my family. Crazy kids. Anybody here got any crazy kids? What you mean don't provoke them? I want to knock them out. You see, I grew up in a time where we didn't have no timeouts. I wanted to be white so bad so I could experience a timeout. Time how long I was knocked out, but we didn't have a time. I had a mother that would say, boy, go to that willow tree and get me a switch. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
I'm 54 years old. I see a willow tree this very day and start peeing all over myself. So I want to provoke these kids. I want to provoke them. I really do. And I'm seeing everywhere in the Bible, I can hear Jesus saying, establish the boundaries. Use godly discipline. Love them unconditionally. Why? They will honor me, and someday they will bless you.
That's right.
One of the greatest problems you can have is when you make deals with your kids. One of the greatest problems you can have is when you try to play Mr. Popularity with your children.
That's right.
Your job is to teach them how to be godly men. Your great privilege is to model as a teacher what it looks like to be a godly man, what it looks like to be a godly husband. I'm going to tell y'all something. I've been saying this in weddings the last year, and I really need you to get this down. It is just a profoundly simple statement. The success of your marriage is primarily determined by the degree to which you stay connected to Jesus. I'm going to say that again. And I wish you'd write it down. As a former communications professor, let me tell you something. 50% of what you hear, you forget just like that. Other remaining 50%, you lose 38% over the next 24 hours. Which means this time tomorrow, right after church, you'll be driving home going, you know, dear, the success of our marriage is largely dependent upon how much sex we get. I believe that's what the big Negro said, but I'm say it again, yes sir, I'll say it again. I got Mo, Curly, and Larry. Did you even bring a pencil? It's just sitting there. Well, you're senior pastors, aren't you? We'll remember, my God. The success of your marriage is largely contingent upon the degree to which you stay connected to Jesus. Uh-oh. Let me say it one more time. The success of your marriage, in a very simple way, is largely determined by your degree to stay connected to Jesus. You want to go ahead and read through the lines? Key man, it has nothing to do with her. It has nothing to do with the situation. It has nothing to do with what she did before she knew you. Let me get over that. It has nothing to do with your past or her past.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the 6 mistakes versus the 1 mistake you made yesterday. It has nothing to do with keeping score. I need to talk to somebody who's just so immature that you don't even realize the gift that you have. It has nothing to do with all those things that you think. It has nothing to do with winning an argument. I said it has nothing to do with winning an argument. Wish somebody would have told me this as a young man, a young married man in my 20s. The success of my marriage is largely contingent upon how close I choose to remain in relationship with Jesus. Bottom line. In other words, if this podium is Jesus, watch this, man. Look up and watch. If this podium is Jesus, the further I'm away from that cross, I said the further I'm away from Calvary, the further I'm away, the more I'm going to want to overcompensate. Overcompensating by demanding my way. Overcompensating by wanting my needs met first. Overcompensating by constantly talking about my schedule and about my desires. Having no regard whatsoever to my children and to my wife, except when it's convenient for me, which usually means in places of public view. Man, I want to tell you something, and I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. It dishonors God the way some of us treat our women. I said it really is a disgrace to God. And you know who's going to end up really sorry? Who's going to really end up sorry? I really believe that woman will be disgraced, and those children will go, you know what, I didn't have a godly father. I had a father that gave me a lot of money, but he didn't have a godly way about him. I had a father that provided for me for holidays, but just didn't have a godly role model. You got one more chance, man. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You may be dead tomorrow. You got one more chance today. I love the late John Wooden, who said, live today as though you're going to die tomorrow. Learn today as though you're going to live forever. You got one more chance. One more chance to say, Father, I want to love her. I want to love her like I haven't loved her in years. I want to adore her. I want to admire her. I want to honor her, even when she is wrong, even when she's not the most attractive. I want to love those kids and not provoke them, regardless of my state of mind or regardless of my mood. I want to be a Psalm 1 kind of man. I don't want to just preach Christ. I want to live Christ. Anybody can preach Christ. But what about living Christ, which means I can't be lukewarm. I love going to Starbucks. And I don't know, maybe it's because of the age I am, but I don't like chai latte or mocha latte or mocha raton. I like black coffee. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Just coffee.
You got it.
You young folks, knock yourselves out with all them different I want coffee. Just coffee. Lady, just give me some coffee and don't fill it all the way to the top so I don't spill it on myself. I just want coffee. And I can't stand warm coffee. Anybody in here just love warm coffee, lukewarm coffee? You got it. I wonder what a lukewarm believer feels like to Jesus. I wonder what a Christian by label only feels like to a man who went to a cross. I wonder what kind of reception a husband is going to get when he shows his excellence in every arena in life except where it matters most. I wonder what kind of reception that kind of man is going to get. I want to be the kind of man who says, I wasn't perfect, but I gave everything I had to you, sweetheart. I wasn't perfect, children, but I gave you my very best because that's what he required of me. So I say to you, men, be that kind of example. Be a mentor. Be a Joshua Wooden who read scripture to his children and treated them with tender loving care. And we have the account of one of his sons, the late John Wooden, who won all kinds of accolades, but I think his greatest advancement was that he impacted his wife and he impacted children and he impacted everyone that played for him with statements like this: knowledge is nothing unless it's shared. Be quick but don't rush. Happiness begins when selfishness ends. It's about what is correct, not who is correct. Never mistake activity for achievement. It's what you learn after you know it all that counts. But the most impressive Wooden statement, I believe, was 53 and 25. Not the 10 national championships in 12 years, but the number 53 and the number 25. He was married to the same woman, Nellie, for 53 years. She died in 1985, and for the next 25 years until he died just a couple of months ago, he marked every monthly anniversary of her passing by putting her pajamas on one side of the bed and writing her a love letter. Listen to me, man. You might not be the greatest literary person in here, but why not write your woman a nonverbal love letter with your actions starting today? Well, why not? She's that same gift that God gave you when you first started out. You know what's changed? She hasn't changed. Your perception has changed because you live in a culture that says, I want, give me, I want, I gotta have. Instead of saying, I'm going all out for my family. I'm going all out for them. I'm going all out for my children. I'm going, that's what God commands me to do. It's funny, most of us in here played sports at some level. And most of us wouldn't think of shucking and jiving because we went all out. But when it comes to our marriage, why is it that we get 1/4? When it comes to our children, why do we only go halfway? And I think I know why. Because I don't think we really know the Word of God. You see, our knowledge of Him, listen to me carefully. Our knowledge of God determines our love for God. Listen to me carefully. I said our knowledge of God determines our love for God. Our love for God. Our love for God determines our obedience to God. And our obedience to God shapes every experience we have with God. May I say that again, please? Our knowledge of God determines our love for God. Our love for God determines our obedience to God. And our obedience to God shapes every experience we have with God. It all begins with our knowledge of God. That I may know the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. Speak to your servant, Lord. Thy servant is listening. What a great prayer for a father. What a great prayer for a husband. Speak, Lord. Thy servant is listening. Teach me about my family, Father. Show me how to go deeper in terms of being an effective husband. Give me revelatory knowledge, Father. I ask, James 1, for your wisdom on being a better, more effective leader in my home. Father, I want to be a leader of men and women in my own home. Father, the things that you have blessed me with, help me to squeeze them into the lives of these young children. Oh, Father, please, I pray that thy word would stay in my heart, that I might not sin against you, that I might model Christ all the days of my life. Help me, Father, to pay attention where I walk, or where I stand and where I sit. Help my words be seasoned with grace. Let me treat her, Father, like the finest rubies, for Proverbs 31 says that's what she is, a man that findeth a good wife. Oh, Father, help me not take advantage. Help me not take for granted this gift that you give me. I took for granted my wife for years. I kid you not. I took her for granted. For years, I took her for granted. Oh, she's going to be there. And then one day, breast cancer. 9/11 means something very different to me than it does to you. 14 years ago, on this very day, was my wife's funeral after a 5-year battle with breast cancer. And the Lord spoke to me for years prior to her getting sick, saying, Rick, I want more of you. I want all of you. I don't want just you to be an anecdotal preacher. I don't want you to be one of those Pharisaic Matthew 23 kind of Christians who only focuses on the outside of the cup. I don't want you to be a lightweight at home and a heavyweight in public. I wonder who I'm talking to. I don't want you to be the kind of person who just has it all together out there and you give your family the crumbs of your existence in here. And he would speak to me year after year after year. And it seems now, as I look back, that I rejected that information. I resisted his word. I reduced it to just minimal proportions. And then one day, the word stopped coming. And it was about the time that Trina got sick. And when she passed away, my life just came to a stop. I'll never forget this day 14 years ago. But also, at that casket, I can remember God asking me, will you trust me? You see, for some of you men, you don't know how to be a man because you never saw an example. My question to you is, will you trust him this morning? For some of you others, you've made such a mess out of being a man, you don't know if you can forgive yourself You can. And he will forgive you. Just ask. The question really is, do you trust him? Hey man, I want to be very, very honest with you. We don't need any more folks in our society who don't keep their word and who tell lies and who don't do what they say they're going to do. I know there are a lot of NFL fans out there, and I'm a big fan of the NFL, but I wish Darrell Revis was here. I've been out of the country for the last week. I don't know if he signed his contract, the Jets guy, or not. Yeah. But did he sign his contract? I'm glad he signed his contract. I would have gone to him, and I would have said, you know what? Yes, the Jets probably owe you more money. Yes, you were the best defensive player in the NFL, arguably, last year. But, sir, you signed a contract. And when you sign a contract, you stop and get your lunch pail and your hard hat, and you take your butt to work, period. Amen. We need men like that. Amen. We need men like that. We need men in our society, like my father, simple third grade dropout. But my father taught me things like, son, you'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Sure. Go out of your way to be kind to people, son. But a father who said things like, son, I want to tell you something, kind deeds are never lost. And if you're going to do a job, do it right. A father who stood at a casket with me 14 years ago on this very day and said, son, just stand. Just keep standing. We need examples like that in our home. We need to bring back, oh God, help us to bring back common sense. Help us to usher back in a season where men are truly men, planted by the streams of living water, who are just completely and totally sold out to God. I didn't listen, and as a result, I am convinced of not listening. The Lord stripped the most precious thing in the world out of my hands. What are you waiting for, man? What is it going to take before you start getting real serious about your relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's telling you to do with regard to your family, particularly your wife and your children? I'm so grateful for the model in my life. Man, I had a great mom. I had a mom that said, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. I had a great dad who said, raise the bar higher. I grew up in a great time. I grew up in the 60s. Anybody here grew up in the 60s? Great living. We had great toys. We had laptops in the 60s. We called them an Etch-a-Sketch. Remember that? We had Xbox 360 in the 60s. It was an electronic football game with a vibrating floor with men that went. We had great television shows. We had I Dream of Jeannie. Remember that? She was fine. We had all kinds of television shows. Gilligan's Island. We had all sorts of things. But I am so grateful. I am so grateful for a mother and a father who modeled Jesus. Well, Rick, I didn't have that. That's no excuse for you not to model Jesus starting today. Man, I want to tell you something. You know what the world needs? Men to stop being wimps. I'm calling you out, Callis. It's time to stop being wimpy. Look at me, son, and making excuses for your behavior. It's time to stop. It is time to stop. Either we are or we're not. Amen? Amen. It's not the preacher's job to make you a man. It's not your mama's job to make you a man. It's time for you to say, I choose this day whom I will serve. Amen. And if I choose this day to serve Jesus, I will follow him to the letter of the law. And if he tells me to go across town and get a donkey, I'm going to go across town and get a donkey. And if he tells me to love and give till it hurts, I'm going to love and give till it hurts. Bow your heads. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Men, I want to ask you a question. If God has spoken to you in the last half hour, if God has spoken to you, not man, but if God has spoken to your heart, in the last half hour, and you realize that you're not quite where you need to be when it comes to being a husband and it comes to being a father, I want you to stand to your feet and we're going to pray together. I want you to close your eyes with all your heart. I want you to believe every word that you're going to repeat after me. Father, I pray that I love you more deeply. I want to love my wife fanatically. I want to model the word fiercely. I want to live Christ fervently.
I
want to share my life fearlessly. I want to entrust what I've learned
to my children
faithfully.
My great
aim,
I pray,
is to live Christ at home.
Let my lifestyle
be Christ.
I want to walk closer
to you.
So my wife and children
will see this example
of Christ every day.
Father, teach me
to be a Psalm 1 man.
Watching where I walk.
Mindful of where I stand.
And careful where I sit.
Lord, I pray
that my actions,
my words,
model you.
From this day forward,
teach me
to be a greater lover
and a greater giver.
In the language
of the Puritan prayers,
remind me, Lord,
that the way down
is the way up.
To be low
is to be high.
The repenting soul
is the victorious soul.
To have nothing
is to possess all.
And to give,
is to receive.
Lord, you've heard our prayers here in Dallas, Texas. You've heard what these men have shared with you. We desire to grow deeper, so would you help us? And now, men, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Lord give you the desire of your heart to be a better husband and a better father. To help us never forget that our success at home is determined by the degree to which we stay connected to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said.
Amen.
God bless you.